Iran withdraws from parts of the 2015 nuclear deal.
The risk is we get ourselves back into an immediate crisis where Iran is rushing towards a bomb and the US has to decide what action it will take.
And Lyft reports strong revenue growth, but a large loss as it continues to battle with Uber.
Lyft has done a pretty good job catching up to Uber.
Plus, global markets sink as trade concerns grow. This is What's News from The Wall Street Journal. I'm Kim Gittleson. Let's get started. Now, before we get into our main story this morning, Iran's decision to withdraw from parts of the 2015 nuclear deal, here's what you missed. Lyft revealed its first earnings as a public company after the closing bell yesterday. The ride-sharing service reported growing revenue, but here you go, a loss of $1.1 billion. From San Francisco, Elliot Brown explains what led to that eye-opening figure.
So there's two reasons. One is a particular charge related to the IPO, and that was about $800+ million of stock-based compensation. And so that's a sort of one-time thing that you do that has, you know, relates to taxes and all sort of, you know, these stock options that their employees get. Now, the other is just that these companies, meaning Lyft and Uber, both still lose a lot of money. And so, you know, even when you exclude that, it's over $220 million of loss for Lyft, which is not small for a company doing the revenue that they have.
And the U.S. has lifted sanctions on a Venezuelan general who broke ranks with President Nicolas Maduro. It's an effort to get others to do the same and support the opposition leader Juan Guaido. Here's Vice President Mike Pence announcing the move.
The United States of America will consider sanctions relief for all those who step forward, stand up for the Constitution, and support the rule of law. Like General Manuel Christopher Figuera, the former chief of the Venezuelan intelligence service, who just last week broke ranks with the Maduro regime and rallied to the support of the Venezuelan constitution and the National Assembly.
Meanwhile, Venezuela's government took its biggest step yet to eliminate the exchange controls that have suffocated the economy for the past 16 years. They are one factor that analysts have said has allowed corruption to flourish in the country. And in the crypto world, hackers have stolen over $40 million from Binance. It's one of the world's largest crypto exchanges, and it was formerly headquartered in China. Binance said it had suffered a large-scale security breach and that about 7,000 bitcoins, or 2% of its holdings, were stolen from a single wallet. More than $1.7 billion has been publicly reported stolen from cryptocurrency exchanges over the past few years. Now, our main story. Iran's decision to pull out of key parts of the 2015 nuclear agreement early this morning. The country's president, Hassan Rouhani, announced the measures a year to the day after the U.S. said it would be withdrawing from the agreement and reimposing sanctions. The announcement was complicated and complicating. So to find out more, I rang up our foreign affairs reporter, Lawrence Norman, who's in Brussels. So, Lawrence, what has Iran proposed this morning? What did President Rouhani say when it comes to the 2015 nuclear accord?
So what Iran has said is the first steps they will take is to produce and to stockpile some enriched uranium and heavy water. Both are key materials in a nuclear program. Iran has been producing them under the accord. It has a cap on how much it can stockpile at home, but it's been selling a lot of what it produced abroad to stay well within that cap. What President Rouhani, the Iranian president, essentially said today is we will continue to produce and we will continue to stockpile those materials and not send them abroad, which means that at some point Iran will exceed the stockpile that it is allowed to have those materials, although that may be weeks or months away. But the more important message from Rouhani today was, if the Europeans don't help us economically, within 60 days we will take further measures, and they could really start to hit at the heart of the accord. To give two in particular, they've said that they would restart work on a plutonium reactor that the Iranians were building, which could be very dangerous in terms of producing nuclear material. and they would start to enrich uranium at a much higher grade, which means it could be used directly in a nuclear weapon. Those would be two big steps that would hit some of the core measures in the accord, and it could lead to a complete unraveling of the agreement.
And now, why is Iran doing this now, at this particular moment in time?
So a year ago today, President Donald Trump pulled the US out of the nuclear accord and started to put in place sanctions on Iran that have become increasingly tough and have hit Iran's economy very badly. At first, the Iranians said that they were willing to wait that out and continue to comply with the accord, but they're essentially saying today, enough is enough. The US pressure is so strong that we feel we need to react by reducing our compliance with the accord and starting up some aspects of our nuclear program again.
What does Iran's proposal mean for Europe? It seems like they're caught in the crosshairs here. They don't want to violate US sanctions by buying Iranian oil, but if they don't do that, well, there's a quite real threat here.
Europeans are under a huge amount of pressure because of the US sanctions, because the US sanctions apply to European companies who are doing business with Iran. And so many of the largest companies have, European companies have already announced that they're leaving Iran or have shelved plans that they had to get in to become more involved. So it's very, very difficult for the Europeans, but they are working on some ways of trying to get round the US pressure. And they will note very closely that the steps that Iran actually took today are very minimal. They may, in fact, not even mean Iran breaches any aspects of the accord in the coming weeks. And so they will continue to work with Iran to see what economic assistance they can provide. The big problem, however, is the Iranians are saying in 60 days, the measures we take will be much stronger. And then after that, they will be even stronger still. And at some point, the Europeans will have to decide if this accord is in fact dead. And that would mean they will have to decide whether to reimpose their own sanctions on Iran or not.
And what about the Trump administration? They had claimed, you know, that Iran was going to pursue its nuclear ambitions anyway, and as a result, the 2015 accord wasn't a good deal. Does this play into that argument a little bit?
I'm sure that will be the message from the administration. They have been pretty clear about what they thought about the nuclear accord, and they have been pretty clear about what they think about Iran's actions and behavior. And we saw Mike Pompeo say yesterday that essentially the U.S. doesn't care whether Iran is complying with the accord or not. The U.S. has left it, and that's not its business. But he also said we do care about what they do on their nuclear program. The risk for the Americans is that by withdrawing from the accord, and this is the argument the Europeans are making, Iran will have the ability to, in the coming months, restart its program. And it is very clear that Iran has the knowledge and ability to amass a significant nuclear program in a matter of months. And few experts doubt that it would take Iran more than a year or two to start building nuclear weapons. So I'm sure the US will make the claim that this shows Iran was always intending to cheat. The Iranians counter, we were abiding until the US withdrew from the accord and long after that. But the risk is we get ourselves back into an immediate crisis where Iran is rushing towards a bomb and the US has to decide what action it will take. And there are many Europeans who fear that that could end up in a major conflict.
You can find our full coverage of the Iran nuclear accord and its unraveling at WSJ.com. On to markets. Asian markets fell this morning following the sharp declines on Wall Street yesterday. That's all due to investor concern over U.S.-China trade relations. Another thing concerning investors, Chinese trade data came in weaker than expected after exports fell sharply in April. Nate Taplin has more from Hong Kong.
Trade tensions between the U.S. and China have ramped up again. Most investors were expecting some kind of deal between the U.S. and China quite soon, but it turns out that the U.S. side is quite unhappy with what they perceive as backsliding on some of the Chinese commitments. And so President Trump has threatened to more than double tariffs on $200 billion of imports from China starting Friday. And I think investors were maybe hoping for a speedy resolution yesterday or some quick concessions from China, and that did not in fact materialize. And so I think that's probably what is driving the sell-off yesterday. So you saw the S&P down about 2%. And what we did hear is that Liu He, China's main economic negotiator, will be heading to Washington one day later than planned, but he is going. In theory, he should be getting there today. But it's not clear exactly whether, you know, there will be something reached in time to avoid tariff rates going up sharply on Friday, which would obviously be quite negative both for China and for the U.S. in the sense that consumers will probably end up paying more.
And now the SCED. Here's what to look forward to later today. Disney will report its earnings after markets close. Shares in the company are up over 20% this year. Investors are happy about its acquisition of some of 21st Century Fox's assets, as well as the new streaming service, Disney Plus. Eric Schwartz has more about what we can expect from LA.
Investors seem pretty happy with the direction Disney's going, if their stock price is any indication. We've got a streaming service coming in November. And also notably, I'm sure this is going to come up on the call, Disney is on its way to having the top grossing movie of all time. It's in theaters now, Avengers Endgame. I'm sure they'll be talking about that, even though that's going to be affecting more third quarter earnings than this second quarter that we're talking about on Wednesday. I think they're just going to want to be looking for any signs that they can discern from management about what the third or fourth or next year's quarters are going to look like when it comes to those streaming services.
And voters are heading to the polls today in South Africa. President Cyril Ramaphosa, who ousted his predecessor, Jacob Zuma, last year, is trying to stay in office. But voters, well, they're angered by a lot of things, from widespread corruption, state capture has become an everyday phrase in the country, to a faltering economy. That's threatening the dominance of Mr. Ramaphosa's African National Congress Party. The ANC has been the dominant party in power in South Africa since apartheid ended 25 years ago. Finally, we reviewed Google's new $400 smartphone, the Pixel 3a. While we found that the phone isn't better than Google's prior model, it has a slower processor and a less impressive screen, the price is right. Our reviewer, David Pierce, said it's the best low-end phone that he's tested. So what do you think? Are you tempted by this lower price tag, or have you just stopped upgrading altogether? Tweet us at WSJ Podcast or email us at whatsnews@wsj.com. That's What's News from The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.